You are holy, Lord, the only God, and your deeds are wonderful. You're strong, you're great, you are the most high, you are almighty. You, Holy Father, are King of heaven and earth. You are three in one, Lord God, all good. You are good, all good, supreme good, Lord God, living and true. You are love, you are wisdom, you are humility, you are endurance, you are rest, you are peace, you are joy and gladness, you are justice and moderation, you are all our riches, and you suffice for us. Your beauty, your gentleness, you are our protector, you are our guardian and defender, you are our courage, you are our heaven and our hope, you are our faith, our great consolation, you are our eternal life, great and wonderful Lord, God Almighty, merciful Savior.
The touch of Jesus, how it burned, and how sweet the sensation of this love in its searing penetration. Francis lay upon the cold ground of his hut at St. Mary of the Angels and felt nothing but the touch of Jesus in his feet and hands and side. He would die with the brothers witnessing the way a traveller with Jesus dies. Poor, broken in body, radiant in the light of the Spirit glowing from his eyes and from the marks of Jesus' touch. And the peace of his departing would seal for them the genuineness of their own vocations as lesser brothers of the Lord. To be real at the end. In that, the brothers would be sure that they were also authentically on the road with Jesus. They need only persevere as Francis had, and Christ himself would touch them with his perfect peace. He looked around the hut and prayed for everyone he saw dimly standing above him, and for the Lady Clare and her sisters. The dream was theirs. The journey lay before them. Francis was suddenly shaken from his reverie by the voices of his brothers praying over him. How long had he been lost in memory of the dream and of the journey? It did not matter, for Sister Death was surely at hand. He scanned the blurred faces of the brothers, one by one, loving them with his blindness as he had with his eyes. Then he asked Brother Elias to strip him of his habit so that he could die totally poor on the ground. Brother Elias did as Francis had requested, but then he put another habit on Francis, saying in that authoritative voice that only Brother Elias used, "Father Francis, I am lending you this habit in holy obedience. You have no right of ownership over it, so I forbid you to give it away or to remove it from your body." Francis was ecstatic. Lady Poverty had sent Brother Elias to him at the very end to deprive him of his own will once more, and still to let him keep faith with his desire to die with nothing of his own on his back. Now, as he lay on the cold ground, the final joy shot through his whole body. He would die now like Jesus, his brother and Lord, poor and clothed only in a borrowed habit. He was glad he couldn't rise, for he did not deserve to be lifted up in death as Jesus had been treed and flung up against the bare sky of Jerusalem. He would die flat on his back, his hands gripping the dirt floor, waiting for Jesus to come to him. Images of Elijah drifted through his mind. He saw the prophet stretched out upon the widow's son, breathing life into the boy. In Francis's mind, the two figures of boy and prophet melted into one another. He hoped Jesus coming to him would be like that. They would melt into one another, limb to limb and wound to wound, and Francis would rise completely in Jesus, flesh of his flesh, and his journey would be ended, and he would be himself. Lost in Jesus, he would still be Francis, but he would also be eternally one with his divine lover. The brothers were all weeping now and praying aloud, but Francis neither saw nor heard. His blind eyes were transfixed, watching the man of the dream approach him. "Now, little one, sparrow, I am here." And the Lord bent down to Francis. But all that the brothers saw was Francis, half rising and leaning forward, his eyes closed, a radiant smile on his face. He seemed to hold a precious gift in his hands. Then he eased back onto the ground and let the lightness of that gift rest upon his heart. And he died in the Lord.
My eyes are blind, and yet I see. Behold, my heart, the mournful gaze of those beloved who sadly hold a patient vigil till my form in lowly nakedness return to earthy home, from dust to dust. At deathly portals pausing, muse awhile, review the pebbled paths we trod in search of godly ways, the sacred times of laughter, song and prayer we shared and loved as one. As one, our dreams, our days, our lives, our hours of black despair when faith, as timid heart, had fled, but not to realm untouched, secure and free from deadly foe. The costly garb of early days we gladly shed, embracing tattered simple robes of poverty. A beggar's road we singing trod with gladsome hearts, as fools for Christ we wandered hill and dale, to rest our weary limbs, no downy cot, nor choicest foods to whet the pangs of hunger's rage. A rocky pillow, earthen bowl of scraps, bestowed at hands of those who'd supped and wanted not. Our path was hard, its humble burden light. As kingly heralds bore, we hope, the peaceful tidings. Cast away the gilded bonds that fasten hearts and halt unfettered rise towards their heaven's final goal. Repent the chains you painful forged in toil of joyless hours, and sin no more. But now, with ancient sickle raised, advancing time, with steady pace, a mortal harvest reaps. And I must bless and bid adieu to all I leave behind, the troubadours of ragged robes and rugged roads, the heralds of eternal king. To meet my regal lord I go. His gentle call has urged me home, and I with fond remembered load present a count of earthly days, of life in willing service spent, of singer now become a song. A beggar, noble knight espoused, in love to pauper's noble maid. Of lesser brothers, I the least. O God, 'tis Francis coming home.